So I know this is kind of a dangerous question for a pastor to ask this question, but if you had your notes like this, or if you downloaded them on your computers, you would see that the first question is, this is on the personal application and conversations. That first question is, what are some of your favorite places to go to in your thoughts? You know, if I said, penny for your thoughts right now, and some of you could respond, maybe you're not really here, so, even though you're here. And those of you who aren't here, I wonder where that just sent you. You know, I'm sure that my answer to that question is it has something to do with water. And my wife and I probably in a canoe or a kayak or in a big boat on the water, taking to the sea or to a lake. So our minds are just kind of always going, aren't they? So what have you been thinking? What have you been thinking lately? Throughout this week, sometimes you've been daydreaming, and sometimes you've been thinking as you've been listening to the radio, watching something on television, watching people around you. Our brains are just going all the time. Wisdom warns us. You'll see this in your notes as well. Wisdom warns us. For as a man thinks in his heart, or as he thinks in his heart, so is he. The verse goes on. Now, we all know that verse. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, Wimpy and Popeye, he'd be a hamburger if he was what he was thinking. But as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But his heart, he says, eat and drink. But his heart is not with you. Why? Because as a guest in your home, he really doesn't want you to eat the last blueberry muffin. That was for my son-in-law. Not really. I don't really want you to finish it up. I'm from Minnesota, and when somebody asks you, would you like the last this, you're supposed to really say, that's code language. No, 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 no. No, that's okay. You really want it. But his heart might not be with you. As a man thinks in his heart, that real guy is not quite as hospitable as he's pretending to be. What are we thinking? And you know, last week I talked about from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 to 5 that God he knows what we're thinking. We know that he searches the heart according to 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9. He searches our hearts. So he knows what we're thinking. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he said, so this is the deal. Take your thoughts captive. You're in the presence of the one who knows what you're thinking. He knows what I'm thinking right now while I'm speaking. I actually can do two things at one time, even though I'm a man. And so, guys, he knows. So take your thoughts captive, or round them up like in a rodeo or something, or a cattle drive, round them up, or take them captive at the end of a spear and present them to the one who knows what you're thinking. And say, Lord, in that process, as I'm going through, as I'm fearing you more than people and what they think, the person I want to impress with my hospitality, the person I want to impress with my righteousness, the person I want to excuse me because of my excuses. Now, as we think, so are we. So, Lord, I'm taking these thoughts captive, and I'm presenting them to you, and I'm asking you to help me deal with those thoughts righteously. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the text for today, Philippians chapter 4, at the end of this happy letter. And it is truly a happy letter. Paul says things that are serious, and they're pointed, and he wants people to think about this. But it's also just a really, really happy get along kind of text. And in chapter 4, he says these things that we have, probably many of us have run to from time to time. I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice always. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord. He's here. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Boy, there's statements in here. Do not be anxious about anything. If you've been anxious at all this last week about anything, don't be anxious about anything, Paul says. I'm sure there were times that he was a little bit anxious. But yet he says, we're in God's presence, so don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, that's requests, with thanksgiving, always with thanksgiving. Start your day with thanksgiving. Continue your day with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. And what will be the result? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard what? Your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent, anything or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, if this goes on, and all these thoughts in chapter 4, they are really interconnected. And I encourage you to think about that as to all the ways that these thoughts are interconnected. But for this morning, I want you some of your Bibles might, the translation you're using might start out verse 8 by saying, think about this, or meditate about these things. So the title of this message is actually Meditate About These Things. And if we have time today, we're going to talk about three of those things that Paul suggests that we think about. Take charge of your minds. Take charge of your hearts as you stand before the Lord. Not so that they're just yours. Just take charge of those thoughts. Say, okay, Lord, let's round them up, and you help me think the way I see things the way I should see them. Meditate on this. Meditate on what is true. Okay, for the last 4 years, 5 years, almost 6 years, we have a theme expression, and that theme is fake news, right? Yeah, we all know. We've heard it a bazillion times. You cannot listen to the news without somehow or somewhere along the line. It doesn't make any difference what news source you have. Whatever news source you have, you could think it's the purest news source, but whatever source you have, it's running through filters, predispositions, different ideas. It's running through filters. And so we get it straight-faced with a spin to it. Doesn't make any difference what the source is. Doesn't make any difference what political party someone is affiliated with, even if it's no party. We all have some predispositions. And we're used to truth, the plain truth, with spin. And so God, through Paul, dares to say, think about what's ever true. If you polled Americans today, we'd find out that, is at least what I've heard, that it's way below 20% of people think that the news they're getting is truth. And yet we marinate our minds in fake news. We all do. We all do. When we talk to our friends and loved ones and we feel safe, it's still got a spin, but we're all impacted by this. And we all think, I wonder if I have any ability to understand what's true. Well, let me tell you this. You do, and I do, have the ability to tell what's true. And that's why Paul says, whatever is true, think on these things. He knew, and I just appreciate so much the songs that Dan chose today, and maybe it's just because I was sensitive to these, but Dan chose a bunch of songs that had to do with, he just shot us with one truth after another. And it wasn't truth that he designed or some songwriter designed. They were truths that came right out of God's word. So Paul says, there's a lot of truth that you can know. God wired you. He made you in his image. And you actually have the capacity to know truth. So now you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to his truth. Stick with it. And don't just read it. Don't even just think about it. Meditate on it. Because this is what God promises. If you will meditate in my word day and night, you will be successful in all you do. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is a man who doesn't walk, stand, and sit with people who have evil intentions. But he said, but this person who's blessed is that person who meditates in God's word. When? Day and night. If it's something other than day and night, you can take a break. But since it's not, it's day and night. He says, all day long, let your mind go through the things that are true. What does God's word say about his presence and about his people over the years, centuries, millennia? Well, I start with the words of Moses in Psalm 90. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Now, when we meditate on an expression like that, where does your mind go? You've been our dwelling place. Some people have houses. Some people have apartments. Some people have tents. Some people live in the mountains and some in the valleys and some at the sea. But he's not talking about a residence in Whittier or La Mirada. He's talking about him. You've been our dwelling place, and we keep returning to you. If you've raised your children to know and love the Lord, if you've tried to and you've opened the word and you've sung songs and you've involved them in the family of God, the church, they've learned that no matter where they're living in their body, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. And Jesus came, and it said he poured himself out of heaven. We celebrated that today at the communion table. He's our dwelling place. And Jesus poured himself out of heaven into earth, into human flesh, to dwell for a little period of time so that we would understand him and his intent to dwell with us all the more. Psalm 91. Turn to Psalm 91. We won't do a lot of turning in our scriptures today, but wow, this is one of those verses. I can remember reading this at the funeral for Ken McGee's mom. These words, he asked me if I would read this. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. In the cool shaded part of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter, the place that place of refuge, that place of quiet strength. I will say of the Lord, and this is Hebrew poetry, just repeats the idea, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I want you to stop and just think for a moment. God's people have been reading these two chapters, 90 and 91 and 92. They've been reading those generation after generation after generation. When they're all alone in the quietness of their home or in their car or by the beach, when they've been with their children, again, or all alone. And they've clung to this reality. Lord, you have been our refuge in a time of trouble. And think about that truth. You know, I talked about these political parties. My. You know, everybody, I heard this week in the news. Straight out, both parties have said at their conventions, if the other guys win, it's all over. This is the most critical election in our lifetime. And I hope you vote. I hope every one of you vote by mail, in person. Don't hand your ballot to somebody else. Let's take care of that bit of news. But don't hand it to somebody else. Just vote and participate. No matter what you think, the hopelessness of it, vote. Express yourself. What a freedom. But both sides saying, this is the end of the world. Well, I heard a lecture today from some of these really intellectual guys, and they were talking about the assassination of Caesar. I think it was 44 BC. My historian son would, he could correct me on that one, but Prior to that, 2 years before, I believe it was Carthage, the enemy of Rome, was destroyed by the Roman armies. After three times it was destroyed, Carthage was the most amazing army and culture off the coast of Italy. And one of the leaders of the Roman army, as they defeated Rome, said, he wept, he began to weep, and his teacher said, why are you weeping? He said, because I know that this is the way that all cultures go. And sure enough, think of the truth of God's, the absolute truth of God's word. In Isaiah chapter 40, God says, he makes this so clear. He says, rulers rise and fall. They rise and fall. They are puny. They are nothing to me. I stand above it all. And they're actors on a stage of which I am sovereign. So I'm telling you, you people that are tempted to just put all your trust in people, that while you vote, that's great. We should. Don't put your trust in people. Or you're hitching your wagon just to the wrong horse. Come on, folks. Oh, there's so many truths in God's word. He is sovereign. He is strong. He is good. He is kind. He is holy. He is righteous. All these truths. Think about these things. And as you meditate on those things, don't just read Isaiah chapter 40. Ponder over that verse. Don't just read a quick read through of Psalm 90 or Psalm 91 or Psalm 92 or Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. cling to it. And just like we've talked about this before, as you meditate, the word kind of means to ruminate, okay? Just, you ever seen somebody having a meal and just, we talked about this before, I know, but just chewing and letting you know how much they're enjoying it as they're kind of, it's that kind of a, it's that kind of a disposition as we open God's word, or as we sing songs like we sang today, with one truth after another. I know Dan has had us sing a song, and I know when the children are here, that they have loved singing that song, and that's the song We Believe. And they have, I've heard them as they've been belting it out and just one line after another of what we believe. It's a catechism in song. Well, I've been listening to another one, another version of a song, We Believe. For the last two Sundays, as I've been out for my walk, I've listened to Steve Green singing his version. It's from back in 1991, Steve Green's We Believe. And I'll tell you, as I was walking up Russell this morning, and I'm listening to him sing, I'm raising my hands. People thought, maybe it was just, if anybody saw me, they maybe thought it was an exercise program. But it was just like, these things have changed our existence. These things, in the midst of all the other lies of life. How do we take it in? How do we meditate on it? We meditate on it reading it. We meditate on it by memorizing it. We come back to it again and again in the midst of the issues of life that we're going through, no matter what they are. When we're joyful and when we're overwhelmed, whatever is true, think on these things. Meditate on them. We meditate on it as we sing those words, as we study them, and as we share them, with somebody else. This morning I woke to, I just noticed that I had an email message in response to the letter I sent out. I hope you've read the letter that I sent out to your email this week. I know Pastor Dennis got a letter on our missionaries out that day, and he got a letter from me as well. So Karen Ramirez sent me a message today, and she thanked me for the message. And Karen said, she said, you know, it's a Tuesday marks a big day for me. And it would have been a year ago that Karen had her surgery this coming Tuesday. And she said something that just, it just kind of, allow me to read this, because it was really helpful to me. And just was, she said, this has been, it's been tough over this year. So God willing, what I'm going through right now will work. What they're doing right now, and I'll make it through another year. I'll be eligible for a transplant next September, once I remain clear and cancer-free for 2 years. So the journey, it's not what I wanted or expected. Now catch this. But he who promised is faithful. And continues carrying me through each day. Love watching your live stream and calling in with Jim and Lorraine when possible for their growth group. Miss you and my CBC family. God bless. Now, you know, she didn't make those words up. He who promised is faithful. it comes out of one of the absolute most powerful texts we could ever read. And that's from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, and the paragraph that surrounds it, 22 to 26, to 25. I asked for her permission to do it, and I didn't get a text back saying that I couldn't. So honestly, Karen's out there letting people know all the time on Facebook what's going on with her, and just expand it just a little bit. All of this is inside of the fear of the Lord. So Paul says, whatever is true, meditate on these things. Think in the midst of what you're going through. Who is God? Who is Christ? Who is the Holy Spirit? Who are you? The next thing he says is, in verse 8, if anything is noble, the second item, if anything is noble, the word is noble. That would be, is anything worthy of praise? A character quality. This person needs to be recognized for who he or she is. Leave your hand in Philippians chapter 4, and I want you to turn, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see this word, this idea of being noble, comes up in a list of, where whenever we're choosing church leaders, it refers now to overseers. Verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Now, the overseer must be above reproach. You can't point a finger at him and say, you know, I saw him, he was doing this sleazy thing. I saw him out of control. Must be above reproach. The husband of but one wife. He has eyes only for his wife. Temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach in a classroom or wherever, on the job, able to teach. Not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into a trap. That is the devil's trap. Likewise, deacons are to be worthy of respect. Same idea here. Worthy of the respect of others and recognized for it. I saw one definition of this word noble is that these are people who are serious of purpose and have a proper self-respect. Titus chapter 2, verse 2 as well, but we won't go there right now. In Acts chapter 6, the people that were chosen to wait on the Greek widows who were being ignored, these people were worthy of respect. It's the kind of person that Job was. When God was speaking and was insulted by, God was insulted, and as the devil actually insulted Job and said, of course he fears you because you give him everything he wants. Life is really cushy for him, but if the heat was turned up, he wouldn't be so faithful. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? It's the same kind of person that Paul was talking about. He said, when we stand before God, he'll say, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant." Paul said, whatever is noble. So who would be some of the people in your life who would say, that you would say of them, this person was noble? Self-respect was an earned thing there, an earned. He was a humble person, intently intending to be humble and honest and transparent and transparent and transparent, willing to have somebody say things to him or her that would, well, they might be hard to hear, would be the kind of thing, according to Proverbs, we could so profit by. So Paul said, whatever is noble, true and noble, think on these things. But one more I want you to consider today, and that is this, whatever is just. Whatever is just, think on these things. The word is it's a simple word, but it's just gigantic in its notion. It's whatever is righteous. Think about this. In other words, today we hear people say, well, just do the right thing. Do the right thing, regardless of what public policy is. Do the right thing. Don't worry about what people think, so that you're kind of dancing your way through what is politically correct. Do the right thing. Do the right thing with your money. Do the right thing with your time. Do the right thing with your energy. Do the right thing when someone asks something of you. And it may be the right timing, and it may be not the right timing. But do the right thing. When someone asks for your help, do the right thing. I want you to see the roots of this. Turn in your Bibles to the fifth book of the Bible. This is Deuteronomy chapter 1. We just need a little bit of reflection here. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. Deuteronomy 1, verse 17. Do not show partiality in judging. Hear both the small and the great alike. Do not be afraid of any man, for judgment belongs to God. Bring me any case too hard for you. Moses had been advised by his father-in-law when he said, I'm kind of overwhelmed with what it means to lead these people. He said, you need to appoint other people as assistants, as also leaders, and they need to judge what's going on. And if anything is too hard, ask them to bring it to you then directly. Chapter 16 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18 through 20. 16, 18 through 20. Appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town that the Lord your God is giving you. And they shall judge the people fairly. This is justice. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God is no respecter of persons. He has, as one translation, one expansion of this says, he has no regard for faces or status. No regard. He just sees right through it. So what is justice? in this world that we are living through right now, when justice is being challenged. We hear things like we are a nation of laws, and there should be equal protection and equal justice under the law. And God would say to all of us, he said it through Paul, in the midst of all of your concerns, you go back to verses 4 through 7. I read those so that we would put this in its context. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Man, I'm anxious. Sometimes I get real anxious about a whole lot of different things. I think I may have said that I heard it asked, you know, in an interview with a couple of people, between a couple of people that are highly respected in their own camps, maybe in their own minds, but my many, many people, one asked the other, have you heard that a lot of people who have never owned a gun are starting to actually considering buying a gun? And this person, I could hear him almost, well, he cleared his throat and he said, yes. All sorts of people doing that. Social unrest. Unrest when it comes to politics and the same kind of stuff that in the end took Rome down. The same kind of stuff. And I'm not talking about just debauchery. I'm talking about power plays in Rome. Power is one of money, sex, and power. Man, go for the throat. So what do we do with the cry for social justice? Well, I think Paul would say this, just as straight-eyed, and I do believe that the Lord would say this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, the right thing to do, now think on these things. Think on it. Let me ask you this question. Do you dare think about these things? Do you? Seriously. Now, probably one of the toughest studies I've gone through. And with our little group of guys, I call it the Sage Group. I'm the youth pastor in the group, so as the young guy. But you know, it's kind of fun. And we went through a book by Timothy Keller. You could pray for Timothy. He's got serious pancreatic cancer. He wrote this book, Generous Justice. And boy, I tell you, all four of us just kind of we. It was a good challenge. He said that one of his friends, an African American, said to him, "You're a racist," and he didn't like that. We throw the word around, systemic racism. We throw it around. Are we all just open to thinking on these things, meditate on these things? What is justice? And not think about it just in an intellectual way. As we stand before God, are we willing for him to speak to us on this issue? He said to the, he writes this, just going to read these very few lines. That's just the way that you do things. You don't realize you really have a culture. He was saying, when you're referring to black people, they have a culture. And it's not my culture. You're blind to how many of your beliefs and practices are cultural. It's true. All of our beliefs and practices are cultural. No, I have the one that's pure. We began to see how in so many ways we made our cultural bias into moral principles and then judge people of other races as being inferior. And that's racism, when we judge other people as being inferior. His case was so strong and fair that to our surprise, we agreed with him. So, here's just the challenge. I'm not presenting a position apart from whatever is true, whatever is noble, meditate on these things, and whatever is just, remembering whose presence we're in, meditate on these things. We're all safe. We're all totally safe in the presence of our God, who is omniscient and omnipresent. Would you stand? You can do that at home too, or on the beach, in a boat. No, don't stand in the boat, unless it's a really big one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you invite us. You just invite us out of pure love and devotion to your creation, to us, your people. You invite us to meditate on these things. Lord, in your presence, we invite you once again today, and hopefully in the days ahead, to help us meditate on these things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.